This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The U.S. House will vote this week along partisan lines to transmit impeachment charges to the Senate, setting up a trial likely to take the rest of the month, pushing final action on a key trade deal for agriculture into February. A Senate trial of the president could start this week, though even if the House acts quickly, it could take the Senate a few days to prepare for a trial, lending more time for remaining Senate panels to clear the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Senate Finance approved USMCA last Tuesday by a lopsided 25-3 margin, but an impeachment trial may now delay final ratification until February, more than a month after House approval. Ag state senators are frustrated. Finance Republican John Thune says low prices, disasters, and trade disputes, have taken a toll on his producers.
This markup has been a long time coming for the farmers and ranchers of my home state of South Dakota and around the country who are struggling. When I talk to farmers and ranchers at home in South Dakota, they continue to emphasize that the most important thing that Washington can do to boost our agricultural economy is to take action on trade agreements to expand markets.
U.S. dairy, poultry, eggs, pork, and wheat will all benefit from low or no tariffs or other changes. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford.
When you drive across the western and northern part of my state, you see beautiful wheat fields. Those beautiful wheat fields feed our kids, feed our families. But when they go into Canada, Canada has a different way of grading that wheat that drops the price there and has been a problem for Oklahoma farmers for a very long time.
Indiana Finance member Todd Young added his praise and frustration.
It's taken a bit longer than many of us would have liked, and I hope in the future free trade agreements can be considered more expeditiously. But nonetheless, here we have this agreement, USMCA. And while not perfect, I know how critical USMCA is for the state of Indiana and for our entire country, for farm country, for manufacturers, and for businesses of all sizes.
But that won't happen now for at least another couple of months. And after Canada ratifies USMCA, first signed by all three presidents on November 30th of 2018. President Trump and Vice Premier Liu He will sign the Phase 1 trade agreement tomorrow, Wednesday morning, at the White House, with roughly 200 people invited to attend. However, some question China's ability to increase expected purchases and if the agreement will stick. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the agreement will open the market, but not exclusively to the United States. That means the U.S. will have to compete with other exporters for the expected $40 to $50 billion increase in annual purchases by China. Meanwhile, a U.S. Chamber of Commerce official told media members Monday the Phase 1 agreement stops the bleeding but doesn't end the trade war. Reuters points out that the United States has left in place tariffs on $370 billion worth of Chinese imports. Further, negotiations for a Phase 2 deal will probably touch on more difficult issues, including Chinese subsidies for state-owned firms and industrial policies perceived to be creating an uneven playing field. In National Ag News now for you, President Trump will again join the American Farm Bureau Federation for its annual convention. The 101st AFBF Annual Convention and Trade Show runs January 17th through 22nd in Austin, Texas. President Trump is scheduled to attend on Sunday, the 19th. This marks the third straight year Trump has attended the AFBF convention. AFBF President Zippy Duval says in a statement, "We are grateful that he has made agricultural issues a priority." Duval says AFBF welcomes Trump at a time when there is much to talk about, from trade progress to important regulatory reforms. The Senate is close to finalizing the USMCA agreement, and the other so-called Phase 1 agreement will be signed this week. Other officials currently scheduled to attend include Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler. Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts, a Republican from Kansas, and Senator Jerry Moran, a Republican from Kansas, also are on the schedule as well. Last week's World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate numbers show that they have a final 2019 corn yield estimate that came in at an average of 168 bushels per acre, nearly two full bushels above industry estimates. Total corn production was 13.7 billion bushel, up 31 million as higher yield more than offset a reduction in harvested acreage, which totaled 81.5 million. The season average corn price for producers is unchanged at $3.85 a bushel. Soybean production came in at 3.56 billion bushels, 8 million larger on higher yield result. Yield estimates were down to 47.4 bushels per acre, with harvested acreage at 75 million, down slightly from the previous report. The season average price for soybeans is $9 a bushel, up 15 cents in part of stronger soybean oil prices. The outlook for wheat is for stable supply, increased feed and residual use, as well as lower stocks. Feed and residuals rose 10 million bushels on lower second quarter stocks, while seed use dropped by 1 million bushels on lower planted area forecasted for the upcoming season. The season average farm price for wheat is unchanged at $4.55 per bushel. Moving on now into more regional ag news from around the Midwest, the Archer Daniels Midland Company is a giant agribusiness here in the country for the biofuels industry. However, that could be changing. Bloomberg says the company is in advanced stages of discussion on a deal that could mean a sale or joint venture for its ethanol dry mills. The agricultural company that dates back 118 years is in discussions with multiple companies about its future. CEO Juan Luisiano spoke last week about the discussions, but wouldn't name the fewer than five companies said to be involved. "We are advancing things along with several different parties, and I can say that we are advanced in those discussions," he says. "We want to find either the right buyer or the right partner for these things." He says while they haven't made a final decision yet, we are close. ADM started producing ethanol back in 1978. This isn't the first time they've taken steps to divest themselves of the dry mills. The company put the assets up for sale back in 2016, looked at bids, and then decided to go ahead and keep the business. Luisiano adds that he wants to make sure that at the start of his tenure that we are focused on nutrition and food, not fuel. "I like ethanol, and I believe there's a lot of potential for the product. I just don't feel that it's for us." A survey report suggests that the economy is growing slowly in nine Midwestern and Plain states as the U.S.-China trade war continues. The Mid-America Business Condition Index rebounded to 50.6 in December from 48.6 in November. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says the trade war and the global economic slowdown will be drags on the overall Mid-America economy for the first half of 2020, but he expects overall regional growth to remain soft but positive. Survey organizers say index scores above 50 suggest growth, a score below suggests decline. Moving on now into state ag news, the biggest story of the week so far is Governor Pritzker has sought and accepted John Sullivan's resignation as the Illinois Director of Agriculture during the weekend. Emily Bittner, Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications in the Governor's office, said in a prepared statement, "Director Sullivan had a long and productive public service career as a state senator, and the governor is grateful for his willingness to serve in the administration. Director Sullivan put together an outstanding team at the Department of Agriculture, and as a result, the department's work thrived." She continued, "However, the governor holds all state employees to the highest ethical standard, and the governor requested the director's resignation because he is disturbed that the then-Senator Sullivan became aware of the existence of the July 31, 2012 email contemporaneously and did not handle it appropriately, including not alerting the Inspector General or other authorities. Last week, the State House was hit by the disclosure of a 2012 email from a powerful lobbyist who hinted at a rape cover-up and other inappropriates within state government. Bittner says the governor's general counsel has shared all of the information she learned from Sullivan with the Office of the Executive Inspector General, who has offered to share this information with all law enforcement agencies looking into the situation. The administration will continue to assist the ongoing investigation, Bittner said. Jeremy Flynn, chief of staff, will serve as the interim director of agriculture, according to Kevin Stimlow, Illinois Farm Bureau director of state legislation. Moving on into other state ag news, as the day draws near for the U.S. to sign the Phase 1 trade deal with China, ag groups are waiting to learn more about the outcome of the agreement. Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, says having a signed deal will be welcome news for farmers and the rest of the economy after being hit by trade tariffs.
We're always anxious to know what's in these trade agreements, particularly Phase 1, but I think it is a great start to bring the Chinese to the table, talk about what's really and how they're impacting not only American agriculture, but American consumers and commerce.
China and the U.S. are planning on signing the deal tomorrow. Moving on into local ag news. Coming up on Saturday will be the Carlinville FFA Alumni's biannual dinner auction, which will be held at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on Saturday evening at 5:30. To explain about this year's dinner auction, I spoke with Molly Rosentreter and Aiden Groves. And first off, Molly explains that this year is not the first time the Carlinville alumni has held a dinner auction.
Correct. This will be our third dinner auction. We've started, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We did it 2 years in a row and then skipped a year. And from now on, we will do it every other year, as you said. So our next one will be in 2022. And this is our most productive fundraiser. We have a great time. We have 250 members of the community that come out and support us for a nice meal provided by the Elks. And then we do a silent auction as well as a live dinner auction. Our Carlinville community is very gracious in that they give to us and in the auction as well as in in-kind gifts and monetary. And this is our biggest fundraiser in order to help the kids throughout the next 2 years.
Next, Aiden explains where proceeds from the dinner auction and other alumni events go towards during the year.
Yeah, so with the Carlinville FFA alumni, our big goal is to provide opportunities to children that most of us had in high school or some opportunities we didn't have. So some of the big highlights for many kids' careers in high school that we help fundraise is going to national convention. Historically, it was held in Louisville. Now it's out in Indianapolis. We'll send a busload of kids out there for them to go network and meet kids from all the way from Maine to Puerto Rico, Alaska. I always had a great time, and the more kids we can put out there, the better. Some of the other different things we do, there's a conference called WLC, which stands for Washington Leadership Conference. It's for junior FFA members that they head out to Washington, D.C. for a couple days in the summer to network with other FFA members from across the nation, learn about leadership. That way they're ready to be the leaders of tomorrow in not only the agriculture community, but also our local community. We do have a scholarship for seniors, whether they're going off for college or trade school, that we'll hand out to the four top senior members that we see after they fill out the applications to basically help them get a go at starting off their next step in life. You know, that's our big thing. Once you're done with high school, what is your next step? And that's where Carlinville FFA Alumni, we want to help provide all the resources and training and knowledge to these kids so when they leave Carmel High School, move on wherever they're going, they're ready to take life on.
And again, that was Aiden Groves and Molly Rosentreter with the Carlinville FFA alumni. And tickets are still available, but limited. You can find those at PJ's Tire in Carlinville, the CNB Bank on the Square in Carlinville, or from any Carlinville FFA alumni member. Cost for tickets are $20 for adults. Kids 12 and younger are $15. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board and events around the state in agriculture. The Illinois Wheat Association and the Illinois Soybean Association Checkoff Program is going to continue to join forces this year and co-sponsor the Illinois Double Crop Farmers Forum. The forum will be held on Thursday, January 30th at the Doubletree Hilton at 222 Potomac Boulevard in Mount Vernon. Registration will take place on that morning from 7:30 to 8:30, and the conference presentation begins at 9. The Illinois Wheat Annual Meeting will begin at 8:30 that morning, which is also open to participant attendance. Speakers and topics at this year's event include Phil Needham of Needham Ag Technologies on double crop management, Pope Commodities on marketing strategies, Wheat Yield Contest Winners Panel, and a U.S. Department of Agriculture Risk Management Agency representative, amongst others. The conference agenda is posted on the IWA's website, IllinoisWheat.org. The University of Illinois Extension will be offering the state-mandated Certified Food Protection Managers course and exam. The two-day course will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro on January 30th and 31st. That's a Thursday and Friday. Participants are required to attend both days of class. The exam will take place on the second day, and it is very important to bring a photo ID for the class. The class will be taught by Lisa Peterson, nutrition and wellness educator with the University of Illinois Extension, and the class provides the minimum coursework to prepare for the national certification exam. Pre-registration is due by this Thursday, January 16th, and you can do so by calling the Montgomery County Extension office at 532-3941 or online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. And finally, in local ag bulletins for you, the Staunton FFA alumni will be holding their annual chicken and beer dance, along with a live and silent auction, at the Crystal Ballroom in Staunton on Saturday, February 1st, from 5 to 11 p.m. Tickets are $25 per person, and they're available at Duda Ace Hardware in Staunton, Bill's IGA in Staunton, and the Prairie Town Feed Store. If you need more information, you can call Mike at 314-873-6769 or Linda at 618-402-2710. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have anything agriculture-related for us, you can send those items to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, January 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.